This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Can I say that I'm jazzed? Am I allowed to talk at this point?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm jazzed to talk about this song. Because I feel like I'm constantly trying to start conversations about this song and no one else wants to engage with it as deeply as I do.
Oh, God, you came to the right place.
I was really excited. Because I'll say, like, you folks sent me the list of, like, here are all the ones that you had put on your short list. Here are all the ones that have been requested by listeners a lot. And I saw a lot of songs that I've dug too deeply into, where I've done like close textual readings and have takes that I have never had an outlet for until now.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the perfect zone for that.
Yep. Welcome to the Thunderdome!
Welcome to the Thunderdome.
Should we start?
Mel Gibson's not in this one.
Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Come on and slam, and let's punch up the jam. I did it! I did it!
I'm so proud of you!
It was a mad dash when the theme music started, and I was just kind of like, oh, get the fucking list out, get the list out.
What a great way to open the show.
Yeah.
I'm Yel.
I'm Demi.
And what do we do here?
What we do is we take songs that you know, and we talk about them for a bit before going, they suck, they're doo-doo! And then we make them beautiful again.
I don't know if we always say they suck and they're doo-doo at the same time.
Right. Usually one of us says they suck and then the other one says
they're doo-doo.
Yeah.
It's our catchphrase. Yeah.
You can get your they suck, they're doo-doo shirts on the site right now.
Yeah. I'm really psyched about the design.
Yeah.
Brown on brown.
It's one person sucking a dick and then another person pooping.
Wow.
It's only available in baby size. Sorry, you were saying something.
I was imagining when you say it sucks, it's doo-doo.
Yeah.
That the t-shirt would be a anthropomorphic piece of doo-doo with puckered lips getting ready to suck. Mm-mm. The doo-doo is the one sucking.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. See, that's why you should have been on the design before we spent, what, $30,000 on these shirts?
$35,000.
So quickly,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow. We went for the tri-blends, huh?
We did. And we took all of the Patreon money. And we are actually upping the Patreon to $40 a month.
We got to make those shirts.
You got to fund the second run.
Speaking of a second run.
Yep. Oh, isn't it? That's a segue. That counts.
Is it?
Hit the theme.
All right. You know him as the host of the Blank Check podcast. You know him as Arthur on the Tick. You might even know him from Search Party. Please give a warm welcome to Griffin Newman. High five, everyone. Yeah,
that's the sound of us high fiving in the
down
studio.
The aisles.
Even Marissa high fived for that, Griffin.
Thank you.
Quite an entrance.
So excited. And of course, second round referring to season two of The Tick, which I'm going to promote relentlessly.
Absolutely. Yes. Everyone go watch The Tick.
Okay, The Tick is a show.
It's a show. Season one is available now
on
Amazon
Prime.
This is a
video.
Good teaching opportunity. Because I can teach you and your entire listening audience at the same time. It's a show.
Okay.
It's based off comic book.
Oh, okay.
From the 1980s.
Yes.
About
adapted
a tick?
About a superhero named The Tick.
Is
once
he
played by
a
Patrick
tick?
Warburton.
Oh, the guy from Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
Correct.
The guy from The Tick.
Okay. I know. I'm getting
Kronk
it.
Himself.
Okay.
I think actually Emperor's New Groove predates The Tick, but yes.
I don't know.
His two best credits. It's a comic book from the 80s. It's about the Tick, who's like this sort of child in the body of like an ultimately powerful superhero.
Oh, okay.
Not literally a child.
No,
but
no,
he's
but
just
like
sort
youthful.
Of like, he's like a kid's impression of a superhero on the playground.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Where he's like, I hate bad guys. I'm all for good. But he's incredibly eloquent.
Oh, so
he's
not dumb.
Well, he's a little oblivious.
This is a complex character.
This
I'm
is
engaged.
Why it's lasted for 30 years.
I feel like he's Thor when Thor decided to get funny, but he was always funny.
Taika Waititi Thor?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite Thor.
He's got that kind of vibe where he's like a really positive, like, you know, do-gooder.
And are you him?
I'm not.
Okay, who are you?
I am Arthur. Arthur is his sidekick, and Arthur is the yin
cartoon
to his yang, okay? Because the Tick's nigh invulnerable. He's huge. He can leap.
Does he suck blood?
He doesn't, but people ask that, and he takes
no
a straw
for
and
season
threatens
two.
To. Yes, that is the thing. In the comic, that's the thing, right?
He does suck blood in the comic.
He doesn't, but people think he does, so he takes a
that's
straw
confusing.
And tries to suck blood, and it doesn't work.
Why don't we name, like, the Beetle or something? The blood's
some
not
people
implied.
Ask if he drives a Volkswagen
thank
or if he
you.
Plays with Ringo and Paul and John.
Demi
they'll
understands
ask if he's George.
Demi understands the value of a clean IP.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
In this day and age, it's all about clean IP.
All of the bugs are tainted. They just chose one and it was a tick.
That's my mistake.
Arthur.
Arthur.
Is his sidekick.
Uh-huh.
Who doesn't know how to do this, which is why he doesn't think to come up with a superhero name.
Okay.
So it's just his first name. And Arthur's the opposite of the Tick. He's got no power. He's got no strength. But he's got too much awareness of what's going on.
Got a cool suit.
Oh, so he's smart.
He's smart. He's super neurotic. He's terrified. He understands the stakes.
This is like a Pinky and the Brain situation.
Thank you.
I'm getting it.
I'm on
board. Are
you Pinky or are you the Brain?
It's like an id-ego thing.
He's the Brain.
Yeah. Ah. Yes. So Arthur's like the Brain of the operation. Tick is the Brawn.
Okay.
They have a weird semiotic relationship.
So you're like the second lead on this show. And you're a podcast host?
It's a two-hander, yeah. And that's a two-hander. That's also a two-hander.
I heard he can juggle.
What the?
I can't do that. I can juggle multiple jobs.
There you go.
That's what I'm scheduling.
Well, thank you for making time for us all the way from how do you say it?
New York.
Yes.
York.
Yeah, and
I've heard of it.
Just got off at LAX and I'm flying back right after this podcast.
And my arms are exhausted.
Well, I will let you have that.
See, I do comedy, so thank you so much.
Sure.
I have to say, a few episodes ago, I jokingly, as part of a conversation in which the context I do not remember, said I will never watch The Tick.
What?
But I had already seen it at that point.
Yes.
But here's what I'm going to say. A bunch of people tweeted to say, Dimmy, you have to watch The Tick.
Really?
It's delightful. Yes.
That's
so sweet. I'm just saying it's a beloved show. And you watch season two.
Were you saying that for Bezos reasons?
It might be, but also... Well, it's probably not.
Who knows?
I think I probably was making fun of it. I feel like that sounds right.
I believe it was part of our segment, Fuck the Tick. Should I play the theme song?
And that's a regular segment right, on the show now. Okay, so this is why I'm starting the promo campaign early.
Can I hit the...
Please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Fuck the Tick.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the theme song.
So, Griffin, you wanted to do... I can't even say the name of this song.
Get it out.
Come on, Eileen.
You wanted to do Come on, Eileen.
Correct.
By Dexys, no apostrophe, Midnight Runners.
Yes.
Dexys.
Dexys Midnight Runners. Is this also a character from The Tick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is a villain?
The Midnight Runner.
Don't mess with Dexys.
No. I'm curious to hear about your backstory with this song.
Sure. So I love this song. I consider it one of my main jams.
Wow.
Same, honestly.
Wow.
No, I think this song is fucking fantastic.
This is a song that makes me really happy. And I was very much the kid in high school who would be like, my value is plugging my iPod in and DJing this thing.
Was it always this song?
Well, this was always in the rotation.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because my thing was like, I'm not trying to impress. I'm not trying to seem cool. I'm going to play the songs that make everyone want to dance without thinking. You know?
Or come.
Yeah. Sometimes both.
So I was like, you can like be like, oh, listen, I got the fucking new Deer Tick or whatever. Or you can be like, I know if I play Come on, Eileen right now, everyone will go, ah, and then start dancing.
Wow. You were like a tiny dad.
I was trying to be a tiny dad.
I like that you stayed true to yourself, though.
I'll say, in high school, I had a real fantasy about being a very young single father.
Oh, my God.
I literally wanted to be a tiny dad.
Was it TV that did this to you?
It was the pursuit of happiness.
It wasn't like the Instagram brand movie. Opportunity?
No. This is prior to all of that. I saw Pursuit of Happiness, and I was like...
That looks tight.
I would love to overcome that kind of struggle.
I'd love to have a tiny friend that I made.
Yeah.
You saw it on a plane where they cut out all the bad scenes. You were like, it's just nothing but great.
No, you know what it was? I liked the idea of like, oh, by college, he's already like a young dad and she left him and he's going to class because he wants to make good for his son. And I'm coming in late with the kid and I got vomit on my shirt. And they're like, God, that Griffin is such a hero.
Yeah. And you know, if you have him young... Your body will recover quicker.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Because if you have them too old,
your balls won't explode.
Yeah, your balls never recover.
Plus, you just love to sleep in a bathroom.
It is.
Are we just doing a plot synopsis of The Pursuit of Happiness?
Yeah, yes. He has to wedge his foot against the door so that the cops don't come in.
Sad scene.
Can you
solve a Rubik's Cube?
Oh, so quickly.
He's learning.
I have some notes, if I may.
Please.
About The Pursuit of Happiness?
Unfortunately, no. I am going to try to keep us on time.
All right, we'll do it for the bonus episode. Yeah.
So... if you were wondering why there's no apostrophe in Dexys, it's because it's named after the amphetamine Dexedrine.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Probably saying it wrong, so feel free to yell at me on Twitter, I guess.
Which I assume Midnight Runners is just saying like, oh, we're taking Dexys and then running all night.
Or maybe like we're doing a midnight run for some Dexy.
That's crazy.
Either way, they're speed freaks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
This is a band of speed freaks.
And they're very Irish.
Hell yes, they are.
Extremely Irish.
This song is so Irish. I didn't realize how Irish it was.
Celtic.
Yeah.
Which is a thing I find very interesting about this song, is people were like, oh, it's like one of those like ultimate 80s one-hit wonders. It doesn't sound like any other 80s song.
No, it really doesn't.
I even have that in my notes. The song sounded nothing like other songs in the 80s. No sense, but there are banjos, accordions, fiddles, and saxophones.
It's awesome.
It's very analog. It's using a bunch of instruments that pop songs do not use.
It's like Irish Arcade Fire.
Thank you.
I will reserve my opinions until I finish telling you information, okay. But they are coming, I'm sad to say. It was released in 1982, which feels fucking like a long time ago to me.
It was,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 36 years ago.
The name of the album?
37.
Keep trying.
37. You'll get there. I was like, wait, no, it's 2019 now. So I tried to add one number, but I added three.
I appreciate you walking us through the process.
I need everyone to know how my brain works.
Yeah.
So it's from the album To Rye A.
Yeah.
Which is another thing I love, like in the early iPod era where I could cue this up. And there'd be the little album
very
depressed man. Like, it looks like an alternate cover for Angela's Ashes.
It looks
it's like a man against, sitting on the street.
Yeah, it's like a man sitting against the fence. It looks like Huck Finn just realized he got pranked. He's like, oh, you made me paint this fence for nothing.
Right, it looks sort of like...
Have you ever been Irish?
Hungover Huck Finn.
Have you ever been Irish? Is that what you said?
This looks like a humbled, broken Irishman.
Yeah.
That's every Irishman I've ever met, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah, fair.
Okay, so get this. It reached number one in the USA.
It did.
Guess what it bumped off to be number one?
1982.
No Diggity. That was way
1982?
Later.
1982?
I took a shot, Miel. I took a shot for that. No,
was it a Michael Jackson song?
It was. Wow. Ooh.
Okay. So that would have been Off the Wall?
No. 82 was Thriller.
82 is Thriller?
I want to say.
So then was it?
I don't know.
No? Yeah. Who are you saying no to?
PYT.
I'm just going to tell you it's Billie Jean.
Ooh.
You were got Michael Jackson, though.
That was going to be
I'm
my
very
guess.
Impressed.
Fuck okay. Billie Jean.
Okay, so here's when my notes start to get a little bit indicative of my opinions.
Okay, because this is, I'm going to pause because I have a feeling I know where this is going. You asked my relation to this song. I said it's an ultimate jam. I love to put on at parties. Makes people happy. Mm-hmm. It's great to dance to.
Yeah.
This is my conflicted relationship with the song. It's so fucking creepy.
Well, I'm not even getting into that yet.
Great.
My
okay,
issue
cool.
at the top is, we'll definitely get into that.
We'll get into
that. That's more
that.
Of like a going through the song bit by bit.
Right. It's a creepy fucking song.
At the top, I need to tell you how derivative this song is. I did not realize.
It sounds like nothing.
Oh, it sounds like everything. We just don't know the references. How'd you grab them all?
Yeah.
Let's start at the top.
Oh, boy.
The beginning string part is a traditional Irish air. So they did not write that. That's them just playing something that's already known.
Okay.
And it was also reused. I think it was first printed in a London songbook in 1775. The shit's hella old.
Oh, God.
But then it was also used as the music for a Thomas More Irish folk song called Believe Me, If All Those Endearing Young Charms. You have that?
Me for those endearing young charms.
Demi.
That's what it's the
no,
song.
No, but it sounds like it's in the song.
Fair.
You're
going to
confuse everyone.
They know my voice.
I liked it. I thought it was great.
Whoa, he just said my name. He just said my name.
What?
Go back. After Believe. After Believe, he just fully said meow. Listen.
Okay. Let's hear.
Sounds like the beginning of Winnie the Pooh.
It sounds like My Heart Will Go On to me.
You're settling into the
He says Believe meow.
he does.
Okay, you can stop it.
Believe me, El.
Yeah.
Always believe me, El. Thank you, Thomas More.
Yeah.
Anyway, various versions of Come On, Eileen will either start with that fiddle solo. I think we know that one, obviously.
Sure.
Fuck the ones that don't, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some must be a radio edit or something. But then others will have, as the last part of the song, the last section of that song.
Yep.
So it's just directly referencing this song.
So we'll get into it when we get to that. But also, one of the lines has changed. Only one of the lines.
So
it's
weird.
So weird.
Okay, here's another thing.
I'm gonna let you go. Get it all out.
The
there.
Wikipedia says that the chorus, you know, the "Come on, Eileen,"
yeah,
that it's quote unquote loosely inspired by the song "A Man Like Me" by Jimmy James and the Vagabonds. But I listened to it and they sound virtually identical.
I don't think they're identical, but I feel
they're
like
similar?
You could win a lawsuit,
I think.
It
sounds so much like Sugar Pie Honey Bunch to me.
Mm, okay, yeah, play it. I need you more, baby. I mean, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
It also sounds like, why would you build me up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buttercup.
Well, what's even stranger is that their reference point for this, the quote being, we wanted a good... should I try this in Irish accent?
Oh, please.
You must.
Please.
I cannot do one. I will
represent
tell you right
Ireland.
Now. Okay. How do Irish? Irish. We wanted a good rhythm and we found one. Lots of records we liked had that rhythm. Concrete and Clay, It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Oh.
Lots of records we liked had that bump-a-bump, bump-a-bump. And can you please play Tom Jones? Because I don't know what the fuck he's talking
bump,
about.
Bump-a-bump,
bump-a-bump,
bump-a-bump.
Does this sound
ba-bum,
like Come On, Eileen?
Come On, Eileen. Oh, I swear that I mean at this moment.
Is this a nightmare?
You mean everything. It's not unusual to
come on, Eileen.
Hey, I did, I did, I.
It's not unusual to have
to loon.
Okay, last reference, and okay. Then Griffin, floor is yours. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Can
I'm sorry.
I say something very quickly about It's Not Unusual?
Yeah.
Those claps are weird, right?
Why don't we save it for that episode?
But just let's
you're
just
saying
listen to this.
Off rhythm.
It sounds like I added them in post.
Oh, you're saying the actual quality of the
claps. Terribly recorded.
Yeah. Anyway,
can I say one thing about It's Unusual?
Absolutely.
My favorite song when I was 8 years old.
Oh my god.
We're starting to piece
so
this whole
not
thing together.
Me. Based on the fact that in high school you put Come On Eileen
we're
on.
We're piecing it all together.
Miel, it is crazy to me that in high school you did not put Come On
no,
Eileen on.
No, like literally, Griffin, no offense, but we would have been enemies in high school.
Okay.
Because I would have been like, hey guys, we should listen to fucking Muse or whatever.
Oh, we would have also been enemies in high school.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would have been like, hey guys, can we please leave on the fucking cinematic orchestra?
And I would have said, this isn't about me. I want everyone else at this party to dance.
No, if I got drunk enough, I would befriend you. But cool. Up front, I would need to let go of a lot of criticism.
Sure. I'm not, what I listened to on my own was different.
Also, I was way shittier in high school as well. This is not just a
oh,
bag
I
on you.
I sucked in high school. You kidding me? I was a fucking nightmare.
I was so critical and
oh.
Shitty.
Oh, I was cool. The worst person.
I was very cool.
Yeah, I'm happy
yeah,
with that.
Fuck you, yeah. Dude. We know. Okay, the last
the
thing.
Heart.
Fuck. Where is the last thing? I mean, what was the other song I had you grab?
Well, there are two more.
Yeah, not the Johnny Ray.
No, Bing Crosby's
thank you.
Tu-ra-lu-ra-lu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the album title.
Right. Well, hold even the can you play this? This is just Bing Crosby doing a version of this traditional Irish lullaby.
Tu-ra-lu-ra-lu-ra. Tu-ra-lu-ra-la.
Okay, you can stop it. That sounds like first version of Simlish.
It does.
That is so relaxing.
Right?
It works. Yeah. I get why Irish
it
people
really
sleep
works.
So hard.
Everything we've just listened to reminds me, aside from the Jimmy James song, reminds me, and it's not, never mind, just this one thing reminds me of Lord of the Rings for some reason.
Huh.
I think
oh,
it's just the,
sure.
Do, 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 do,
are you thinking of like Pippin's song?
Maybe. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, that no, that main Lord of the Rings theme, the sort of the Shire theme,
Lord
not
of
the
Rings.
Dun, dun, dun,
oh,
dun,
I
dun,
swear
dun.
It's the Rings. I don't
in
know.
In the Shire, they'll wreck everything.
Lord of the Rings obviously has this Celtic feel.
Yeah,
I feel like even Elvish looks kind of like Celtic.
Yeah,
Celtic
the brooches or pins or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I'm gonna keep saying, oh, I said it right that time. It's shit. I meant to say brooch, fuck you all.
Ooh.
The brooches that the Galadriel gives them, they look very Gaelic.
Oh, for their little capes.
Yeah, it looks like kind of like a Celtic knot. So I could see
I gotta
why
watch
you think them, that.
Those movies again.
Yeah. Also,
quick watch, easy watch.
Yeah, I'll just set aside 11 hours.
So I think that's all the songs I have that it's
okay.
That it kind of pulls from.
Yeah.
If you if you want to jump in now with whatever I was making you so angry about while I was talking.
You're making me angry. I just had a lot of thoughts about everything you were saying. And I knew some of those things that they were pulling from, and I didn't know some of the others. Okay?
Okay. I think we're going to get through this, friends. I don't think we'll become enemies by the end.
Hey, look.
Who can
say? I'm of the same mind.
Stick tuned to see whether they fight or become friends.
Stick tuned? You keep saying that.
No, did I really? Yeah. I keep saying that?
That's the second time you've said stick tuned.
Okay. I get why people tweet at us that everything we say is wrong now. I still don't want it, but I understand it.
There is a clear solution to this problem. Huh. Mm. Make stick tuned shirts.
Hey, get your stick tuned shirts and your they suck their doo-doo shirts online now.
No longer mistakes. They're now catchphrases.
Thank
That's right.
You. That's right.
I always wanted to do that, getting a hat that says Sitchinario, because I always, always, always say Sitchinario and Grud instead of great or good.
And then
wait,
Sitchinario,
you say
Sitchinario is
instead
scenario?
Of great?
Instead of situation or scenario.
Oh, sure.
I always like change words in the middle of saying
they're talking
things.
About that Emily Blunt movie.
What?
So wasn't it her? A cop? Last year.
Oh, Sicario.
Sicario.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Sicario 2, Soldadio.
Okay, yeah. So the producer dropped the craziest fun fact in 2007 in an interview with Uncut Magazine.
Okay.
This is going to blow your mind. Are you ready? We recorded it as James Van and me, as in James Brown, Van Morrison, and Kevin. The me being Kevin, the singer.
What? What?
Yeah, that was the original chorus singing about people who influenced him to write the song, just like he mentions Johnny Ray at the beginning.
That is so funny, and also just what the punch-up should have been.
I know! James Van and me, oh, I swear they are great, and I like them!
Okay, so what you're telling me is they come up with all these pieces, right?
Yeah.
These little riffs.
Yeah.
These little limericks, mm-hmm. they go, let's take all our musical influences, uh-huh. all our cultural influences, let's put them in a pot. What will that song be about? Of course, mm-hmm. our influences.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a sort of like Ouroboros song
yes.
that's referencing in lyric what we're referencing musically.
I love it.
Exactly. Although I don't think James Brown was, but he was apparently accused of being a Van Morrison ripoff earlier in his career. So that is a very strong
choice. Well, that makes
a
lot of sense.
James Brown was?
No.
Oh, is it?
Dexy's Midnight Runner. Maybe you've heard of them.
I have.
No, because they're Irish and Van Morrison's Irish.
Yes.
So obviously you're going to elicit comparisons.
That's like if I said Dexy's Midnight Runners were a ripoff of the fucking Lucky Charms guy.
Very true.
Or that
that's a good point.
Sing Street movie.
Ooh.
They sound exactly the same.
Yeah, Texas Midnight Runners definitely ripped off Sing Street.
Absolutely.
I feel like this information really sheds a lot of light on the rest of the song. We'll get there, but I mm-hmm. would like you to remember this.
Sure.
So then I think we can transition into who the fuck was Eileen?
Who right. is Eileen?
Oh, I know the info I found online.
Now, can I say just a couple quick things before we get to the Eileen
part? Of course
you are not here to talk, Griffin. Stop it.
Listen and do not speak.
I do have to learn how to listen.
What's up?
And a podcast is a great place to do that.
What? Say it.
For me, mm-hmm. and maybe this is selfish, uh-huh. because I'm not internalizing the ethics of the song, the creative integrity of the song. I'm like, you take a bunch of things I like, you put them all together, I'm going to enjoy that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a buffet. Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, this place makes a great sundae. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't make the ice cream themselves. Maybe they buy the syrup.
Mm.
Maybe they throw some cookies in there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
The
they have it all in the same place, and that's what you like.
That's what I like. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to say, oh, my God, my compliments to the chef. Mwah.
But you'll still enjoy it.
I'm going to say, thank you, restaurant, for giving me all of this in one easily packaged delivery system.
That's a fair point.
Right? So I like all that. And when you're talking about all those influences, I like dun-dun-dun songs. I feel like I like songs that have like propulsive, repetitive
Absolutely.
Rhythms.
Uh-huh.
And that's the James Brown sort of like, dun, dun, dun. Like you're just going to keep winding up the thing over and over.
Yeah.
You were doing like rolling hands so hard you punched your dun, microphone.
I punched up the mic.
He is so jazzed, like you said.
But that was like when I wanted to put like party songs on, I was like, what are these songs that have like, you can't
do,
get.
Do, 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 do. That was your other favorite song.
Yes.
Venga Boys.
Right. The Super Mario Brothers theme.
Hell yes.
No, but songs where it's like you can't get off beat.
Yeah.
Because the beat is so consistent and so relentless that you can't dance wrong to this song.
Well, I think it depends on who's at this party as well. Because certain people might be harder to find the beat than others.
Oh, well,
that's a
fair point.
Some people don't dance too well.
Dee boo boop. We're not talking about me. What? Anyways.
Hey boo boo.
So get this. Eileen is this crazy mystery. I'll just tell you what I know, and we can treat this like a true crime
Eileen
podcast.
Warnos.
It's Eileen Warnos.
It's Eileen Warnos.
Come on, Eileen, stop the murdering.
Stop murdering. In later years, Kevin would explain variously that Eileen had been a particularly attractive Swedish journalist mm-hmm. who'd interviewed the band, prompting lustful desires within him, or that he was inspired to use the name Eileen in the song, having misheard the lyrics to Squeeze's Labeled with Love.
Huh.
However,
that's a big miss here.
A big or, right, also. Yeah.
Okay.
However, in interviews given shortly after the release, he claimed that Eileen McCluskey had been, no need to dox her, Jesus,
yeah.
had been a childhood friend, and that the song was about the moment in time when their sexual awareness had awoken and the friendship became less innocent. But then later he also claimed it was just all an allegory about Catholicism. So who the fuck knows what the hell this is about?
We got some Dave Coulier avoidance thing going on here.
Yes, exactly.
What's the truth?
I had always heard the third.
Yeah, that it's his like childhood friend.
That it was his childhood friend. And then later I'd heard this correction. It's like, it's not about a specific person. It's a composite. It's about that moment.
Right.
And that's how he would tie in the Catholic guilt thing. That it's about this transitional moment.
You know so much about this.
I wasn't kidding when I said I had a lot to say.
Yeah.
And that I'd gone deep into it. Because this was a song as a kid. I'd hear it. I'd go, great. And then I remember when I Love the 80s covered it.
Yeah.
And they were like, who is Eileen? Like, that, you know, Hal yeah. Sparks going like, Eileen, never even heard of her. And then they played the clip with the guy.
Kevin.
Kevy. Kevy baby.
Kev, come on.
Right. And it was like some like BBC, like 1983, like he's smoking on 16 millimeter film interview in a patio. And he was like, you know, the song, it's about, you know, a young friend of mine. And, you know, that moment where you realize you're friends and then it becomes lust and it becomes a sexual thing. It stops being innocent, you know, when you're 12 or 13 years old.
Oh, it's so young.
That's way too young.
And it's so young.
That's the creep thing, right?
Imagine the dress that she must have been wearing if they were 12 or 13.
Because I remember him saying this, saying very logically, like, it's about that moment where the relationship that was pure starts becoming a very sexual thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, when you're 12 or 13.
Oh,
and he
no,
made
no,
it sound
no, 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 no.
like the song is about 13-year-olds fucking.
Cool.
That was the implication I remember getting from watching this I Love the 80s clip. And then he sometimes said, it's a specific person. He sometimes said, it's a composite of all the 13-year-olds I fucked.
Oh,
no!
My God. Wow.
And
okay.
This is where my torture relationship with the song comes in.
Well, it begins. It goes on.
It comes on.
On Eileen.
It comes on Eileen.
So many people have come on Eileen.
Well, this is my thing.
She's 13, y'all.
Listen, she's not even real.
Or is she too many people?
Or is she a journalist that he hit on aggressively like that creepy Vin Diesel video?
Or this weirder thing. Ugh, I could do an entire bonus Patreon episode about the Vin Diesel video.
Subscribe to the Blank Check Patreon.
Yes, please. But here's like a thing for me, right? What if it's all of these things?
It probably is.
What if
it's
he's
a 13-year-old
like,
journalist?
Here's what I'm wondering. In the same way that he took all these inspirations, right? Mushed them all together.
Mm-hmm.
That he was like, because a big thing about the legend of this song is that the whole thing got done in like 24 hours.
Oh, really? I think
really?
For me.
That this was like a big, like they went to the studio. I think they were all running on Dexies at midnight and they like pushed it out.
Wow.
So that thing of like what you were saying of like, oh, the lyrics were originally them just like
changed.
Citing the footnotes of who influenced the song becomes this Come and Eileen thing, which the lyrics are very repetitive. Feels like it was like, I don't know, make it something else. And he was like, I don't know, here's some things I'm thinking about. When I wanted to fuck 13-year-olds, when I was 13, also that journalist I talked to yesterday.
Oh my God.
It's a composite. You know, like maybe it's like this brain mush of like all his weird like sexual shit.
I think you're probably right. I don't know how much of a difference it makes in the interpretation of the song.
No, because when I actually closely listen to the lyrics, it mm-hmm. creeps me out.
Yeah.
If I put the song on and I kind of zone out, I have the best time. And when I really engage with it, I feel so deeply uncomfortable and complicit.
That is shocking to me that you can listen to this musically and zone out, considering there's three fucking key changes.
And they're all great.
That's
oof.
One.
All right.
They all ruin it.
I think we should just get into it and continue the discussion as we listen.
Yeah. Sure.
Because it's going to be a long one.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
What a good way to open a song. And I like that it's a fake out.
Mm-hmm.
Bum, bum, bum. Boom. Drop the beat. There we go now. Dexy.
It's murder.
I mean, How do you not have fun to this?
No, this part rules.
The best
and
part
especially, that- you drop it at a party. Everyone's like, what did you just put on?
Here's
and then
where
this-
they lose me.
Oh!
No, that's where they lose you? No, no,
that's
no,
where
no.
they absolutely... They're like, I'm like, you got me. You can say some crazy shit right now and we're all going off.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. I like to fucking party as much as the next guy. I like to get... boogie down with my real friends.
You like to get boogie down with the...
With my,
you sound like a narc.
With no,
but not
no, no,
for,
no.
Not for drugs, for dancing. You sound like a narc from Footloose.
No. I love my friends boogieing and me as well.
Okay, you're John Lithgow and Footloose.
But...
You're the one who leaked that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez video, aren't you?
I'm just saying it was very provocative.
Yeah. How dare she?
To have a song that just starts... I mean, I'm okay with it, I guess, but to have a song that starts that's like... Everybody now! Like, to start that way, it's just a big move. People tell me I start at 11. I'm like, that's starting at 11.
It starts at 11 and then still, like, it starts with the Celtic fiddle at, like, an 8, and you're just like, what is this? And then it goes to 11. And then later in the song, it goes all the way to, like, 45.
Yes!
It rules.
That's...
Makes me feel like I'm on drugs.
Yes!
Look, I can't...
That's what a good song does.
I cannot... intellectually argue the validity of this, but I stand with Demi, where that's what I like about this.
Yes.
That's totally fair.
Is this song, you put it on, it feels like a dip. Oh, fuck, did he play the wrong thing? What's this Celtic shanty? This is a Bing Crosby
See,
record.
I like the Celtic shanty. And I wish it was more
boom,
of that.
Right? And then you go, this is as hot as it's gonna get. And then 10 seconds later, it goes, boom!
Again. Yeah.
See,
and the lyrics haven't even started.
Love on Top is another example of this, where, I'm on board, because it's just higher, 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 and I can follow
exactly.
the one thing.
Yeah.
This is 100 things amping up. It's so intense.
I think what helps me is because it's so famous, we've heard it so many times, mm-hmm. that we're just, like, it's exciting, and then when you get to the next part, you're just waiting for the next part.
Yeah,
because
it's four songs.
Yeah, and
it's
all
four
of those
songs.
The thing is, the composite of the four songs is exciting, because you get that little break where it just, like, goes, like, come on, and everyone at the party's just, like, fucking slowly, like,
right.
getting ramped up.
To me,
up.
This is like saying your favorite song is Shout. Like, this
That's
is in the
great
same
song. Top five. What are you talking about?
Something you just put on and chill?
Oh, we're not talking about all chill, though. This isn't like a party where we're all sitting around, like, talking about our feelings. This is like a, like, we are
right.
alive.
Right.
Maybe I'm just too pretentious to be able to see past
my own
ego.
In this moment, we are infinite.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Right. That's my thing is, for me, this song is like purely a visceral experience.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? You can't engage with it intellectually. Because then I think the whole thing falls apart. You go, what are they pulling from? What's this thing about?
That's all I'm doing.
Right, the song philosophy of it. You go, like, there's no integrity to starting at an 11 and
then
going up to a
15. Well, and then also fucking piano.
Perfect.
You didn't earn
Every
that.
Song
you didn't
should
earn
have that.
That.
Any song that has that in it, I'm so on board.
No.
Yeah.
I Will Survive starts with something kind of like that. And
so does
that rules.
ABC.
Yeah, and that rules. But from
and
top
yet,
to bottom?
It
yeah.
sounds like we have 100% success rate with this of the three songs we've mentioned.
Right. And my number one favorite song of all time is I Want You Back.
And mine is Shout.
Let's move on to the next
But
episode.
I feel like...
Oh, wait,
I feel
it
like
is Shout. It
things,
is I Want You Back, not ABC, sorry.
Right. But I Want You Back has that thing where it's like, these are five songs and I like each of them. Because sometimes with pop songs... You're like, oh, chorus is better than the verses.
Yeah.
You're kind of wading through to get to the part where then it really jams.
Uh-huh.
And I like what you're saying, Love on Top. I like Crazy in Love. I like I Want You Back, where every part is good.
Yeah.
So maybe the transitions are a little jarring when you go from one crazy radical to another.
Extremely jarring.
But what I like is you're maintaining consistency of quality and jamness.
Yes. High jam potential at all points.
Well,
I want HJP.
We should discuss as we play along.
Have
we're
you
getting
guys
way ahead of ourselves.
Seen The Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yes.
Yeah. This scene in the movie where this plays is like the one part in the movie where I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm fully on board with what's
Thank
happening
you.
Here because it's just that feeling.
It's that feeling.
Yeah.
And it hit me hard because I was like, this was me in high school. I put it on and just want to be like, we can all just relate to this. This song transcends.
Oh, yeah. Let's continue.
Clicks.
Yes. I have a very visceral memory of me playing this song at a party in college and just being like, this is the best moment of my life. And then shortly following that with Dance Yourself Clean and being like, yeah, these are the two greatest songs I've ever heard.
Yes.
I think we need to move on.
We'll move on.
Let's move on to second 10 of this song.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We
no,
have
yeah.
a lot
Before
to
Before we
get
move
through.
On, though, is no, there's a crazy thing in the very beginning. There's a mistake in the song.
What?
Yeah. Listen very closely to this. That ba-doop. Before the drums drop.
Wow.
I didn't hear a mistake.
Listen closely before the drums.
I don't think that was a mistake.
No, it is. I slowed it down and like listened to it. There's like a part where the fiddle
Someone
comes back in.
Someone started playing the wrong thing.
Or it's like it cuts, but it doesn't cut so cleanly that you can't hear the fiddle anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway. I still contest that that's a mistake.
I mean, it makes sense when you consider this song was essentially like an all-nighter trying to get the paper in.
Yes,
for
it's
first
very
period.
Weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, song goes on to say.
Okay.
It starts like a Pharrell song, like that the four beats.
Yes.
It's great.
We already did this section.
I know, it's a longer.
We just want to experience it again.
It's the full clip as it goes into the transition.
Oh.
The fucking like banjo is perfect. Come on, Lolly! Fantastic.
Okay, I got a clean metaphor here. You're saying you can't do this. You can't do this many things in one song this quickly. And I'm saying if I go to Applebee's, why wouldn't I order the sampler platter?
Okay, but when did you, like, chug a bottle of Jaeger at the same time that you ate it?
Yes.
I'm partying. Hell yeah.
Of course.
I'm just saying there is such thing as too much.
I understand, but I'm saying also, like, let's be fair, like, it's Applebee's, so it'd be like a blue raspberry Long Island.
Thank you. Keep me honest, right. Please.
But that's what I would do.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I think the song is the full meal. Like, they give you the appetizer, then you got the main course, you got a little, what's the French name for the, not aperitif, maybe, whatever. You got all sorts of different courses.
Do you mean aperitif?
Yeah. What
you... Did you say a pair of teeth?
I said aperitif.
Yeah. A parakeet?
Aperitif.
Right, and of course that shirt is now available.
Aperitif.
No, I think because, you know, you go to Applebee's and you go, God, these items are so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretzel crusted chicken fingers.
Are you sponsored by Applebee's, man?
I am.
Okay.
I'm here to promote the Tick and Applebee's.
Right. Cheeseburger and egg rolls and all these like weird fusion foods that just like put six things in one thing, right?
Beautiful.
And you go like, am I going to have regrets if I didn't try this just for the novelty factor? So I like that you can get like a sampler platter and then pick your entree and just have a little bit of everything. You go home without any questions about what could have been. If you go home with diarrhea,
you and you will.
Full, and you will. And this song is kind of musical diarrhea.
It's going to be the best diarrhea
it is,
of your
I
life.
Will,
thank you.
I think it is musical diarrhea. To me, this is the diarrhea after the meal.
And
it's
I guess,
not the meal.
I guess where I stand is I love diarrhea.
Give me that diarrhea.
Get your shirts now.
Give me that diarrhea shirts. I love the amount of instruments in this part alone, like
oh,
the
banjo.
Weird fiddle and then the banjo that comes in for one beat. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
It makes no sense to me there.
Why is that vocal?
It sounds like they're doing a bad Michael McDonald impression.
Come on, Harlan.
Like, I mean, who's singing that? A 900-year-old man?
Yeah.
But come on, Harlan. Here's another thing. And look, I can't make the case for these things. But you said that right now. And I immediately thought, I do love bad Michael McDonald impressions.
Hell yeah.
Like, anytime anyone does a bad Michael McDonald impression, I'm like, but I genuinely like the way that sounds.
I thought you were going to be like, and I thought right now, I hate this fucking bitch.
Never. No, we will end this episode friends.
No, and everything you're saying, I respect. This is just a matter of taste. This is just different opinions. There's no right answer here. That's the subjectivity of music.
True. Right.
For me, I want to tear my fucking ears off my ears. So.
And I'm going to get those ears and listen to this song in surround sound.
Okay, so he said, poor old Johnny Ray.
Yes.
Okay.
Johnny Ray was a singer, songwriter, pianist.
Yeah.
Extremely popular in the 50s. He's been cited by critics as a major precursor of what would become rock and roll.
Damn. Okay.
And he made, well, this is a little bit of a spoiler for the next line, but he made very sad songs. Song called Sad.
Yeah.
Damn.
Nope.
To the point.
Sorry, my mistake. It's called Cry.
Oh, okay.
So close yet so far. And also I'll Never Fall in Love Again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did you grab a little clip?
I'll never fall in love again.
Yeah, rock and roll, baby.
This is such a like upbeat version of what this song should sound like, given the title.
You can stop it now.
It also sounds like a musical number.
Yeah, just to provide context for poor old Johnny Ray, but you won't really need it because we won't talk about him ever again in about three lines.
Well, I got a bombshell to drop. Go on.
Well, that's it. That's the only thing we listen to. We got to listen to more to talk about it.
This is what I'm going to say.
That is your catchphrase now.
I know, I know.
And it's available on Trip. I had never put this together until right now. But my father, it's a running joke in my family, and I can't even remember what the fucking song is, but there's some song my dad loves where he would play it in the car when he was driving us places, road trips, whatever, and he'd go, boys, quiet down, listen to this. This is one of the best lyrics in the history of songs. And he'd turn it up, and the line was, ain't gonna fake it like Johnny Ray.
Whoa.
And we would always be unimpressed by it. And then he'd have to give us like a lecture, which was like, Johnny Ray, he sang these very emotional songs, but he like really overdid it on stage.
Oh, so he wasn't actually sad.
Right, and he was like trying to own the sad thing so much and was like melodramatic.
It was like his brand.
Right, and It was like this idea of like, you ain't gonna fake it like Johnny Ray. You know, you're moving into an era where the songs have real feeling behind them. They come from a real place of pathos.
And your dad thought that was the best lyric of all time.
He liked that they were calling Johnny Ray out in his bullshit.
Yeah.
Maybe my dad doesn't have great taste in lyrics. But then you're saying the opening of the song is...
poor old Johnny Ray. And then we need the next line
to
keep talking.
And then what comes after this?
Oh, Johnny Ray.
God.
I love every part of that.
Could you understand any of it?
No, and that's why I'm going to ask you to read the lyrics.
Which is why
I
love it, I think.
Okay, so in its entirety, it's poor old Johnny Ray sounded sad upon the radio, moved a million hearts in mono. Mono, not the disease.
Sure.
Mono being monooral or monaural sound, which is obviously how radio is played.
Yeah,
music.
Monorail sound.
Yeah, monorail sound.
Monorail sounds, of course, as opposed to stereo sound. Then he says, our mothers cried, sang along, who'd blame them?
Sang along, who'd blame them?
Who blame them?
Sang along, who'd blame them? So this feels like a vestige of when the song was just them citing all their influence.
This is exactly why I got that tidbit, because I'm like, oh, this is originally what the whole song was, and they scrapped all of it except the first verse.
Well, look, they had to get it in by first period. It was 5 a.m.
Like, this was the 80s. Johnny Ray had not been relevant for 30 years at this point.
To anyone other than my father, correct.
I feel like this is kind of setting the scene in terms of like the music they listened to and as like when they were kids and when like their parents, like, the, you know, when they're young, when this is supposed to be set.
Well,
good
it sounds
point.
Like a weird way to brag at like how you watched your mom cry, I guess.
Yeah, it's also weird to write a song bragging about fucking a 13-year-old, but you know.
He didn't fuck him.
Well, he wanted to. I guess. I don't know.
The I think he does.
Lingering.
I think he does. We'll get to that.
I love the harmonies on this part also. Like, it's great to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be so negative.
You can be negative.
Anything.
Someone's got to balance out us two. Everything's great.
It just it sounds like a voice you would do for a marionette.
Which, once again, you're describing a sound that I love.
Yeah, what? Puppet music? That's my genre. It's,
bad Michael McDonald puppet music.
It sounds like tiptoe through the tulips, like whatever the fuck. It's like this tiny voice. You shouldn't actually sing in that voice.
Yo-ho-ho.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It does sound like the fuck, what car commercial? Woo-hoo.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, that's
a deep
the,
pull.
Isn't that the Kill Bill?
Oh, that's.
Right. No, but isn't there also a yoo-hoo?
Maybe.
I know Yoo-hoo.
Oh, Yahoo.
That's what it is. Not Yoo-hoo. That was not a commercial for
and
chocolate milk.
And that is
milk.
A jam, and you should do that on some future episode.
With your Yahoo shirts. Yeah.
3 hours of the Yahoo jingle.
Do you remember that the live-action Inspector Gadget movie?
Hell
yes.
Yes,
of course.
The way he...
Matthew Broderick, who could forget? A vision.
I mean, a wonderful actor. Let's admit it.
Great driver.
Wonderful movie. Yes, of course.
Maybe not the right gadget. Maybe I'm just going to say it. I love Matthew Broderick. I love Inspector Gadget. Maybe the two of them weren't supposed to get together. Maybe it's like Julia Roberts and I'll love it. Maybe the
or
two of them weren't
Midnight
supposed
Runners
to be in the
Dexy's Midnight
Runners
and Come On, Lately.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But the bit in Inspector Gadget, because they have to set up in a children's movie that he dies so that they can rebuild him as a robot, right?
Yeah.
The way he dies is they drive a car into a billboard, and the billboard starts tipping over, and he looks up at this billboard falling on top of him, and it's a Yahoo billboard, and the movie at then that point goes, Yahoo!
I remember this.
And then he's killed!
That's forgot great. About that. What a strong choice.
And I remember.
How much did Yahoo pay for that?
That's the question.
I like to imagine they paid, and some like very punk rock like producer was like, fine, I'll put it in, but it's not going to be good. You're not going to like it.
Wow. I'm just shocked that we managed to get to Inspector Gadget from
Tom. Sounds like a pretty
Island.
A to b.
yeah,
I mean, what is there to say? This section has nothing to do with the rest of the song. Okay. Couldn't understand any of it. Sounds like a little Tiptoe Through the Tulips. What's his name? Not Slick Rick. Rick something.
Tiny Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I thought it was Tiny Rick.
Oh, it does sound like Tiny Tim.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love Tiny Tim though.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that what cinches it for me is the fact that I couldn't understand these lyrics means that we never analyzed it.
Yeah. Because you were saying, how is it possible that you can listen to this song knowing it's creepy and not get creeped out by it? And the answer is, it's only when I read the lyrics.
Oh,
when
you can't
I listen,
them.
Can't understand them. I'm putting that together now.
Yeah. You just hear, come on, Eileen. You're like, oh, that's probably
fine.
And
that's all I need to know.
It's all above board.
Yeah.
And then he says,
this is where it gets bad. Hell yeah.
Oh my god, I love that you left in the first part of the chorus.
Because it's exciting, and also because I thought you would
I
like
would scream
this
at
song.
You.
No, because yeah, I yeah. thought you were going to be like, oh, you're edging
Come on,
me.
It's the best part. Yeah.
It is.
It seems like a song I would like.
Right.
It's just musically chaos, and that upsets me a lot.
I love the chaos. Maybe chaos.
That key change yeah. does not work for me at all.
It's that
doesn't,
I'm all about
it. It doesn't feel like you just got like slammed like a crash chest dummy. A yeah. crash chest dummy.
Crash chest dummy.
A Cheshire dummy. Doesn't yeah. that feel like you just got slammed at 80 miles an hour going into that chorus?
But I want someone to slam me out of my head and make me feel.
And straight into the Applebee's.
Yes.
Yeah. I want that Yahoo billboard to come crashing down on me.
I'll tell you.
Actually, wait. Quick opportunity. Well, now we're talking about these fake sponsors
sure.
to take an actual ad break.
Let's do it.
And we're back.
Thank you again to our sponsor, Yahoo.
And Applebee's. And the Tick on Amazon Prime.
Oh, definitely a sponsor.
Again, that is... Fuck the Tick.
Okay, well...
I gotta play it, man. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I'm not gonna mess with your house. This is your house. We just listened to a chunk of the song leading into the first chorus, right?
Yes. Would you like to know what he said?
Well, this is what I want to say before that.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm listening to it, I go, huh, what a fun series of sounds a human voice can make.
Like,
I'm listening to it at this time because of the podcast. I'm trying to really engage and see if I can make out the lyrics. And all I'm going are, those are fun sounds.
It really
his accent.
Right, sounds like the Trollolo song or something.
If this song was all, if this song was all scattered, be one of my favorite songs. I think.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's so fun.
This is like. Actually physically painful to me that you guys can't hear how, I mean, or maybe you can hear, it just doesn't bother you, how musically anarchist this song is.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. We're anarchists, baby.
Hell yeah.
I can't get into it. It physically upsets me. It's what? All I can do is just sit here and go, what the fuck, man?
Mael, what can I say? I'm like the Joker. I just want to see the world burn.
Fair enough.
Why
also,
so serious?
Let's, just one more time. Can you say my name?
Mael?
Close.
Fuck. Mael?
That is.
Oh, okay. Believe Mael.
Yeah, maybe fucking Dexy himself would say it like that.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just in character. You're an actor.
I just want to restate.
Put on a t-shirt.
Joker, pretty twisted.
So twisted. Likes to mispronounce people's names because he wants to see the world.
People
burn.
Don't talk about how twisted this guy is, and maybe that was my most Joker move of all, was to mispronounce.
Why do you have that damage tattoo on your head?
Oh.
We'll Photoshop it out of the photo.
Yeah.
So he said, you've grown.
So grown up.
Actually, the first one's, you're grown up.
Yo, grown up.
Then it's, so grown.
So grown up.
Now I must say more than ever. That's the, come on, Eileen. Tura, Lura. Tura.
Lurai.
Hey, 13-year-old titties.
But so in this context, he is also 13.
Yeah, now
we can't erase that.
It is important. Now you're saying you think this song is about him not having sex with 13-year-olds when he is 13 because he is trying so hard to convince them. That
oh
if
wait,
it was
no,
going
I didn't say
well.
That.
Oh really? I thought you said.
I did not say that. I said none of that.
No, this song it is kind of like pathetic. How much he's like really like begging and pleading. He, you know, this is like an uphill
battle.
Oh, I
don't interpret it that way.
Really? Mm-hmm. How do you interpret it?
Well, I'll tell you when we get to the chorus.
Okay.
For this part, I think he's just going, whoa, somebody got beauty over the summer. Yeah.
It does, I mean, yes, that is the vibe of this song, is someone.
And I think what makes me the most upset is that the like background chanting of other men, now it feels like a group situation. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, a young girl with like 10 men, even if they're all the same age, it's threatening to me.
Of course. Well, do you ever have this thing when you like think about the people that you had crushes on when you were like 13
all
and your
time.
Mind's eye, you think Every about night. Them. As like equals,
right?
And then you like look at a yearbook and you're like, that is a child
all the time,
right? And like, I remember when I was like 13, I was like a pretentious film nerd and I was like, why doesn't someone make a movie like this?
Yeah,
like what it's like really like to be 13 and like kiss people.
So you wrote eighth grade,
right? And I turned 18, I was like, because it's gross, because you can't watch it.
It's disgusting.
It looks disgusting, and eighth grade's a movie about like
how we're
this
disgusting.
Is embarrassing and disgusting.
Yeah.
But this is a song that's, a bunch of adult men speaking from the perspective of 13-year-old
so
boys.
Grown up. Oh, just, so there's also something, up. I just think that even if that is like a consensual, very cool situation between two people, I think that saying as a compliment or like a praise that someone's grown up is fucking disgusting.
I was about to say, there is no good context in which someone can say, you're so grown
only
up.
Only a parent. No. Only a parent can say that to their own child.
I don't even know if it sounds right if a parent says it.
Yeah, making you aware of your own aging process is kind of a... Imagine saying that to an adult. Well, imagine if I like just hadn't seen you in a week and I was like, whoa, you look like older
now. That's why
now.
I'm saying a parent can only say it to their child. I'm assuming like they're measuring their head against
the wall.
No, but
only until they're like 16 though. After that, it's... If my parent was like, yo, you look older now than you did last year, I'd be like, fuck you.
That's a different thing. I'm saying specifically the phrase, you're grown.
So grown.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Actually, it's you've grown.
You've grown. I think there's one context. So what is the exact list?
You've grown, you're grown up. So grown, so grown up.
So grown up. I think the one context where it's acceptable is if you're a parent and you're saying it sarcastically.
Like oh,
your
you're
kid
grown
is
up.
Like, oh, so grown up.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah, ooh, that was good acting.
Creepy. Thank you.
That was great.
Tick season.
What do we think? What do we think Tura Lura is?
I imagine it like how when people imitate Irish people, like, torgy, 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 torgy. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe, because he says, now I must say more than ever. And then he just makes that noise, which to me, I'm like, is he miming jerking off while he's doing that?
Oh, I thought he was saying, now I must say more than ever to the, like, you're grown, so grown. You've grown. Now I must say more than ever.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was leading into the little tura, lura, lura, hey, eh.
No, just give him a little, give him a tura, eh.
He's Irish. They speak like Yoda. Where they're like, drunk, I must say right now, I am.
I'm so sorry to our Irish
Sing
listeners.
Just like our fathers, we must.
That's I'm a little Irish. Year. I'll say that as a defense. I'm a little Irish.
Griffin sounds like it, yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Does it?
That's
Griffin
so.
An Irish
Griffin's
name?
An Irish name.
I didn't know that.
Griffin, what's the guy from American Werewolf?
Griffin Dunn.
Yeah, that's an Irish name.
I think you're mispronouncing Gryffindor.
I was mispronouncing Gryffindor.
Anyways, guys. Be sure to check out my stand-up. Then the line that I actually do like here is, and, uh-oh.
We can sing just like our fathers.
That is what I scrolled right at the wrong moment. Thank you. I feel like that line is so out of place here because it feels like it's throwing to, like, imagery of an industrial town and their fathers once were young, too, and were singing the same song
you
in
know?
A bar.
You what? Know what I think it is? What? I think it's saying our moms cried and sang along to sad songs. I want to sing like our fathers who were not sad.
Make our mothers happy.
No, fuck our mothers.
Oh, okay. No, while our mothers were alone crying, our fathers were at the bar drinking and partying and singing together.
I mean, that's
A reach, but I like it.
Can I give you another?
I don't think it's a reach.
Another read?
Uh-huh.
And it's a weird flex, but I kind of like this read.
Uh-huh.
Is the idea that they're like, we've also grown over the summer. Now our voices have dropped. We can sing just like our fathers.
Oh, that's a great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
Right? Like, I like, because that.
Come on,
that makes the Eileen lust a little less creepy for me because it's like reasserting, like, we're just some kids.
Yeah, yeah. We're all kids
here.
We can
sing just like our fathers, but at the end of the day, we're still kids.
And now I got pubes, baby. I hated saying that.
My pubes.
So we're going to get to the pubes bridge now?
I hated saying that. I'm really sorry. And then he goes on to say, come on, Eileen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear, baby, at this moment, you need everything. You wear that dress, my thoughts are the best, but you're dirty. Oh, come on, Eileen.
bring that banjo back in.
Oh my god. You guys are miming every
I feel
instrument.
Nothing but joy hearing this song.
That's wonderful. And I hope that you continue to after I've said all these horrible things about it. I'm sorry.
And what do you got to say this time?
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you what he said. Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear what he means. Mm-hmm. At this moment, you mean everything. You in
Which
that...
is a nice sentiment. Give him credit. That's a nice sentiment.
I think that's a mean sentiment. At this moment?
At this moment. I'm speaking for in the present. I'm living in the present. At this moment, I can tell you, you mean everything.
That doesn't sound like I don't actually care about you, but right now you look good and I'm horny.
I don't think so.
That doesn't sound like I want to sleep with you and then not hang out with you tomorrow.
I think there's a way to read it as a backhanded compliment, but I don't see it very... I don't see it that way.
You're coming at it from the angle. You're saying your read is like... Look, I don't know about tomorrow, but at this moment, yeah. You mean everything.
Yeah. Well, I just think adding a qualifier onto you mean everything is odd. Putting like a condition on that. I'm like, yeah. Okay, just say, well, you mean everything to me. You know what I mean? To say like, right, well, right now, you're Mr. Right for right now.
That feels to me like it's like a like tonight we are young kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. I love that song.
Fun, period.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then he says, you in that dress... My thoughts, I confess, verge on dirty. Oh, come on, Eileen.
Now, okay, I've always known, and I've always been like, yes. Okay,
listen,
weird.
That was always
fine.
An eyebrow raise.
It's, I mean, I think without the context of you've grown,
yeah.
It's a fine thing to say. I mean, if a boyfriend said this and they were like, oh, and that dress, you're making me think dirty about you. I wouldn't be like, ew, pervert. Like, it's fine. You're allowed.
It would fit in perfectly in a Prince song.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't go like, how dare he?
But in the rest of the song, it feels so uncomfortable.
Within context. Now, I do think because he is a marble-mouthed Irishman who's often speaking in Sesame Street Yip Yip alien language, that I feel like often those are the only words I'm hearing clearly.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not taking it creepy because it's like I'm only making out the distinct
you
syllables.
You in that dress, my thoughts are confessed, bloody battle.
Right, and then it's back to yip yips.
Yeah,
I hear you.
It really is. I've always only been able to hear the chorus. I'm just kind of like, oh, I guess he's horny for this lady.
Right.
I also think that I interpret the come on, Eileen. I don't see it as pleading. I see it more of like a Job from Arrested Development, like, oh, come on.
Come on, Eileen.
Oh, like, you think he's
wow, that? Come on, Eileen.
He's all wound up.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That it's like, whew, girl, you gonna wear that? I'm gonna get hard.
I mean, maybe this says a lot about me, but I always was like, you know, picturing just like a 13-year-old boy going like, oh, come on, Eileen, please.
Maybe he's like in the corner begging his boner to go down. He's like, come on, come on.
I mean, this is an interesting read that the song is actually about his boner.
His dick is named Eileen.
He's pleading.
You've grown.
Yeah.
And the dress
so grown up.
Is his underwear. I don't have a dress.
The dress is a condom.
He put a condom on for fun in his own room. He's like, ooh, look at her now.
Yeah, a lot's happened over the summer. Let's try new things out.
I like it so much better when it's about his own dick.
Come on, Eileen.
Come.
What a... Yeah, see? Yeah. There you go. There's the come. I also would like to say, for the record... I wasn't going to talk about edging.
Oh, okay.
Well. I was going to say that my lunge up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to edge you with what I'm trying to say. Now make your thing.
Push to
there you go.
Edge.
My punch up does not involve cum. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I want so badly, I did, but I was like, we've done so many gross, explicit ones the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Gotta give people a break from coming and jerking off.
So your punch-up is jizz on Eileen, right?
Don't come on, Eileen.
Sorry. I was just waiting to hit that.
Yeah.
Don't come on, Eileen.
Don't come on, Eileen, or she'll scream.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that your punch-up, or was it?
No, just, yeah, PSA.
What was your punch-up going to be? You were about to tease us.
No, I originally did want to do a whole thing about come. It's just, it's right there. It's always been there. Every time I hear the title of the song, I'm like...
Everyone's like, come on, Eileen. Eileen.
Right,
you
right.
had to, they knew that when they wrote it, right?
I always wonder how much just jokes about come were prevalent in like the 80s.
Well, I'm wondering about Ireland. Do they even say come? Hey, Irish listeners, do you guys say come? Or did you in the 80s?
Yeah, you guys got like a splorch or something? What's
splorch?
Splorch on.
It's probably
Eileen.
Like...
Right, because they might
baked
be like,
potato.
Ah, he scargled.
He scargled
all over his pants. He did. Yeah, for all we know. But no, I mean, I don't want to like tip the hand, but now I'm starting to think like maybe the punch up involves not making this leering at a woman, but him leering at his own body and how it's grown, and that Eileen is the boner.
That would have been smart.
I'm starting to get really into this idea of Eileen being his penis.
Let's try to keep tracking it, see if we can make it work.
I love my dick.
I mean, I self-love is nice in a pop song.
Yeah, jacking off. Oh, I'm gonna jack off. All right, I'm gonna keep moving on.
Oh my god.
Come on, Ellie!
Wow.
This is
what the fuck?
This is the craziest rhythm to possibly sing these words.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
That was on to what the fuck is.
And let's just say clearly for the listener, what Demi and I are grooving every time we play another clip.
I can't not.
We both start moving.
No, yeah. I look like a black spot on this podcast right now.
I don't think I've ever heard this song and not at least like tapped my toe. Like it's just, yeah. I don't know. It feels infectious to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm immune.
I think it also is just like, I'm sure if I were hearing it for the first time today, I'd be like, huh, what is this? It's just like the memories and like the feeling of this song.
Oh, do you guys have nostalgia attached? Obviously, you do.
Absolutely.
You played it in high school. You do too?
Yeah, in college mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. When this came on at a party, everyone would fucking go nuts. It was like Dance Yourself Clean to me. Yeah.
I bet that has a lot to do with it because yeah. I really never heard this song until probably like 5 years ago.
Interesting.
I bet you that's probably why, because it wasn't familiar to me that right. I only am hearing it as like an objective listener.
I wonder if I would like this song coming to it fresh with an adult brain.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I mean, if I'm any indicator, I gotta say no.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds chaotic to me. It's all I can hear, especially when that band was like, no.
Yeah.
No. I gotta take a nap now. My ears are tired.
Okay. The lyrics for this part are, these people around here were beaten down, eyes sunk in, smoke-dried face, they're so resigned to what their fate is.
What the fuck?
Well, that sounds like magnetic fridge poetry.
It does.
That's what that sounds like to me.
What does this have to do with Johnny Ray or Eileen?
So this might be from a third draft of the song.
When it was like about like Irish struggles?
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, so what the Genius page said when I was looking at it earlier, mm-hmm. which really enlightens me to the song, is that this is like Ireland's Born to Run.
Oh.
I could see it that
wow.
way.
Wow. Okay.
But I wonder if an Irish person wrote that or just an American like making up a fantasy wrote that.
No, I don't think they literally were like, in Ireland, people think of this as Born to Run. I think just like in terms of what the story is, I could see it like
yeah,
that.
And when you're talking about all the influences, right?
Yeah.
All the sort of like Irish, like these kind of like the equivalent of street jokes. These are the riffs. These are the limericks. These are the rhymes. I kind of like the idea of like when I hear this song, and especially coupled with the album artwork.
Uh-huh.
I get this very kind of like visceral, tangible feeling of like the hard knocks of an Irish child.
You
know, we grew up
Brooklyn.
In a small town. Yes. You know,
yeah.
My father, he works on the docks.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I get this sense of like, you know,
That's true.
The working class, you know, trying to find your fun.
That's true. There's not many other Irish artists, I feel like, that have had mainstream successes when singing about Ireland.
Right.
At least not a long time.
And I guess I
is
like...
Is the church in Take Me to Church in Ireland?
Oh, do you want me to DM him?
Please DM Hosier.
Let me ask my friend Andrew Hosier.
Andrew Hosier.
Burn. Do. Let's not forget. Burn.
A lot of Irish stuff is sad. I feel like Irish people have a reputation for being like sort of like romantic,
mm-hmm.
tragically romantic kind of people.
Mm.
And I feel like you too, it's a lot of that.
You don't even know me. Fuck off.
Okay.
Hey.
I feel you also do a lot of that.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
grammar was incorrect. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
But I like this song. And the Born to Run thing's kind of interesting because the boss, it's like that kind of like, these are the struggles of like the American man at
yeah.
the steel mill. But the songs are like fucking triumphant. You can put
mm.
your fist to it and you feel mm. it even if the actual meaning is sad.
Mm-hmm.
And this song, I like that juxtaposition. It's kind of like the Johnny Ray thing where we put that on and we were like, this sounds a little musically upbeat for such tragic lyrics. Jackson 5, I feel like, have the same thing. I Want You Back. I'm like, these lyrics are very depressing.
Yeah.
Also sung by children.
Which is even more depressing. Children with very sad childhoods.
Yeah, children with the idea of loss and like wanting an old lover back. That's too much.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Children who maybe had too much adulthood thrown on them from a very young age.
I wish someone would say that about the Jacksons.
Yeah, that has never been discussed.
It also reminds me of the song Read My Mind by The Killers,
mm.
which is, I think, just the same thing as Born to Run and what it's saying.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
True. That's actually kind of a good song.
Yeah. It's a, I love that song.
Switch Power goes, I don't mind if you don't mind. And Vegas sucks and I'm a shine.
Vegas is not great.
Yeah, the people living on the edge of town.
Yeah, this song's for them.
Yeah.
This song's for them to go to their local bar with sawdust on the floor.
Yeah, the edge of Sam's town.
Yes. Ooh, there you go.
This is just becoming a killer's episode.
The people with beaten down eyes sunk in, or they were beaten down, their eyes sunk in smoke. Wait, what is this? We're beaten down, eyes sunk in smoke, dried face. They're so resigned to what their fate is.
What yeah, is so have you seen Sing Street?
I mean, not to spoil it, but my unpunchable gem this week is from Sing Street.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Get in your car and drive it like I stole it. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's for sure what I was going to say. I mean, what is there to say? This is chaos. This is lyrically chaos. I don't know what he's talking about.
I cannot figure out what... I'm just going to play the beginning of this again because... I forgot I clipped out this whole thing. Sorry.
Come on, Ellie!
Yeah, what? We're beaten down, eyes sunk in, smoke, dried face. Is that three, like, we're beaten down, eyes sunk in, smoke, dried face, or is it eyes sunk in their smoke, dried face?
I feel like you might have swallowed a few bridge words in that sentence.
Maybe.
A few of them might have gotten dropped. But I get a feeling of a place, you know, and of a time.
Yeah,
when
he's setting up the next line.
Yeah.
Right, which is... This is the part that feels like they were like, this is going to be a classic, so we're going to sing it as if we're talking about this song.
In the future.
And you'll hum this song forever.
Right.
I hate, this is just like the fucking Hall & Oates. It's like self-referencing in song.
They're calling their shots.
Yeah. I've taken a turn, and I'm okay with it now.
Now you like it?
The song starts out as a tribute to the music they grew up on and ends as a tribute to
itself. This song. Yeah.
Which is funny, knowing that this song was originally composed as a tribute to that music, because it is just kind of, I mean, it's them going, never mind about the old shit, you'll hum this one forever.
Dexy's is where it's at. Now, I looked up Dexy's Midnight Runners on Wikipedia before coming here. Do you know that they very recently, in the last couple of years, changed their name to Dexy's?
Oh, yeah.
Their official band name is now Dexy's?
I did not know they were still a band.
37 years later.
Do they have any other songs?
They had one other UK number one hit
like,
single.
Prince of the G, I feel
Gino.
Like.
Gino. Which I don't think I've ever heard.
I haven't either.
I will say, in looking up Dexy's earlier, I also saw an article that said, like, their 2016 album is surprisingly good. And I was like, I'll never know.
No.
Not ever.
So he said, the whole thing together would be, these people around here were beaten down, eyes sunk in smoke dried face. They're so resigned to what their fate is, but not us. No, never. Not us. Not ever. We are far too young and clever. Remember, tu-ra-lu-ra, tu-ra-lu-ra-a, and you'll hum this tune forever, oh.
Yeah, that feels like some Badlands shit to me.
It kind of
like,
feels
guys
like that, yeah.
Don't want to be cursed to live their father's lives. They're too young and clever. They can achieve more.
But here's the irony, is that they're saying this to say, so we should fuck tonight, which will inevitably take them exactly down their father's path.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy and it's not very well thought out. I agree with you on both counts.
They're like, yo, we should have unprotected sex tonight to not end up like right. Our fathers,
so I can become a 14-year-old father like Griffin fantasized about being in high school.
And I'll be the 10th generation in my family to do so.
Yeah.
Do you think the we are far too young and clever line is supposed to be sarcastic?
I don't know. He sounds drunk.
I think it's the arrogance of youth.
Yeah, it's a little ageist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little mean to, like, my parents. I'm like, well, they're pretty clever.
I mean, old people are dumb.
Anyone that's, like, their whole, like, thing is like, I'm young, so I'm hot and cool. Like, nah.
You're too self-aware, and therefore you're stupid.
I'm also wondering when he says, remember, and then tu-ra-lu-ra, tu-ra-lu-ra-a.
Yeah.
My original time this came up, bringing up that maybe that was, like, a jerk-off noise or something. He's like, hey, remember this? Hey!
I think it's what you were saying. He's already referencing the song. He's like, remember when I did that early in the song?
A callback!
Remember that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is his second beat.
This is like, yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say!
The not us part, he says, but not, it's so, like, the way he says those very simple words
Yeah.
He also does it on Forever. You think he'd go forever, but he's like forever.
Forever.
Yeah, he does not sing the vowels properly. It's very strange.
He also throws in a go before the turalura.
It's before?
Like, remember, go turalura.
What is this fucking Limp Bizkit?
That fits into your theory that this song was very hastily cut together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From
the takes. Like, not only did they record it in 24 hours, but they finished mixing it within that same time period.
Yeah, they were like, put it on the record.
Print it. Can I ask how long this song is in total?
It is 4 minutes and 47 seconds.
Oh my God, we still have so much to go through.
We don't really, though. I mean, we do, but we don't really.
Just play the next clip.
The best part of the song.
Not the end. Should have been the end.
No, it
not
should not
end.
Have been the end, because the next part is the best. You know what I just realized? This part is like Kiss the Girl.
Ugh.
It's just a bunch of chorus of people like,
it's Summer Nights.
Yes.
It's Summer Nights.
It's not. How?
Because they're like egging him on, and it's like all men. And it's not like they don't even know this girl.
They're just egging on the girl.
Yeah. Also, are they in the room when they're getting naked? What is the narrative here?
Of course, they're good friends.
That's why I think it's like Kiss the Girl. It's just like a chorus of people, like, I guess, sea animals that this person doesn't know, just being like, tell him yes. Tell him yes.
Also, that is pressuring the guy to kiss the girl. That is very different than pressuring the girl to get naked.
I mean, they're both not great.
No. Toxic masculinity. And let me say this too. The song is like the original Gillette commercial.
Shut up.
The best a man can get.
It's talking about these cycles.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I like about the slowdown that we're about to get to. Okay.
No, we haven't gotten there yet. That's not something you say after we get there.
Then fine, I'll hold my tongue.
What he said, if you couldn't hear, was, "Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear, what he means. Ah, come on, let's take off everything. That pretty red dress, Eileen, tell him yes. Ah, come on, let's. Come on, Eileen." And then,
I mean, I feel gross now. Having to hear those lyrics, I feel very gross.
Especially because they put it in, like, second person there, or third person there, being like, tell him yes.
Tell him yes is the worst.
I don't like that. I feel gross and I feel complicit. I don't like this.
I don't like it at all. I can't believe you guys think this song rules.
I like it more when I can't understand what he's saying.
Oh, I think the lyrics are bad, but the music is flawless. Yeah. And the way that they sing it is top notch.
The way that, okay.
Yeah. It's so fun. That's what makes it. If this song was just, these people round here, I'd be like, cool, whatever.
Yeah, but you can sing with flair and energy and sing well. There's a difference.
I don't need it to be done well. The hitting highs and lows is what makes it so fun and dancey. It feels like just a jam band.
It's a skill piece.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a skill piece. Everyone just get on their instruments and do their best job.
Yeah.
That's a banjo.
Okay. I know you don't like this part, so I'm not going to do what I did do, which is clip out the entire run and then also in pieces, because I was like, we all love this song. We're going to listen to the whole thing and then we'll go back.
No, play the entire.
I'm just going to go the pieces.
Okay. What? Oh,
you want the entire thing?
Just play the entire thing and then we'll just talk about it as a unit.
All right. Okay. I might get up for this.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They're standing. Oh my gosh. They're fully dancing in the city. Pointing at me! This is upsetting!
Come on, Eileen! Eileen Tallulah! Yeah, come on! Eileen Tallulah! Come on! I said to never things round and change. I said to
yes, I was already sweaty.
And let's make it clear to the listener, the reason we stopped pointing at you and started pointing at each other is because you started shielding your face.
I didn't want to be pointed at.
You made it very clear that you had become the Eileen. We're like, no, that's not what we want.
You felt attacked. And we listened and we responded. We pivoted.
Thank
we made
you.
It about each other.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I do think that speeding up is fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's the shout effect. We get it. We like it. Exactly. We love it. It's perfect party music. I can't get on board.
Okay.
So, we're chanting to get a girl to get naked.
I mean, once again, I agree. If we look at what the song is saying,
right.
I hate it.
It is not a good thing. I do not stand by the message of this song at all.
But if I listen to what this song is feeling like,
yeah,
I'm having a great time.
Okay, it's like seeing the ingredients of a blooming onion.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like going to the hot dog factory.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to see the parts.
Another word for McDonald's. Oh, fuck Applebee's.
Yeah, this is all the same thing. I don't want to know what's going into this.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the chef of my favorite Applebee's is a little bit of a creep.
Yeah.
I just want to eat those fucking chicken crispers.
Okay, but now you are getting in dangerous territory, sir. What? You were trying to say, like, hey, guys, come on. I like the movies Harvey Weinstein makes.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that guy should be fired, but I am saying he did some good jobs.
No,
I'm saying he did a good job. Unfortunately, he was a problem and he needs to go. However, the work that he did can be replicated by someone else the exact same way.
So you want Woody Allen too?
What? How is that what you...
Wait.
The same logic.
Wait.
No, it is... How is that what you're getting from this?
It's the same logic.
No, I'm saying if Woody Allen is a good filmmaker but a shitty person, I'm saying we get rid of him and learn the lessons from his films that people should be learning and get rid of all the other shit.
See, so you want to listen to a cover band to...
Hell yes. What is this podcast if not a cover band changing the words?
Well, then you're going to love the punch-up.
Fantastic.
I got another punch-up coming as well, but this is a thing I'm going to say.
Catchphrase?
This is the thing I'm going to say, yes, and buy the shirt, please. And that's also now on a shirt. Buy the shirt, please.
Great.
Don't like what they're saying in this part of the song. Here's what I do like about it. And this is like, I guess we pinned it, okay? The nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. What the song activates for me. I was always very uncomfortable in social settings, things like this. I don't know how to, like, go to a school dance and actually dance seriously. And then I realized, like, I can put on fun, good time songs, and I can just put my heart into it.
Yeah.
Music leave it on the dance control. Floor. Yeah, and it's sort of like quantity over quality. Like, I'm just going to go all out. Mm-hmm. So songs like this... that are this repetitive, this rhythmic, have so much going on where I could do any sort of flailing or jumping around. It doesn't seem out of place. Things like Shout, things like I Want You Back. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that Shout, I Want You Back, Come On Eileen, all have in common. They got a nice little 15-second break for Lil Griffey Nooms to catch his breath. And that's what I think of when I hear this part of the song.
Absolutely.
It ramps back up so it doesn't look like I've quit, like I had to go to the bench and get a cup of water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's no, like, this is deeply relatable.
Boom, bring it down. And then we're slowly kind of building it up. And that's the sit on girl, I think I love you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's you getting to actually be like,
oh that's
fuck.
An ABC and not I Want You Back. But
shit.
Exactly, right. But it's like, I can
now
like...
wait a minute.
Thank you. Like, I and this is where I'm gonna dispute Demi's argument, okay? And it's not like we want someone to replicate the model of what a shitty person did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about this song's function versus its message.
Mm.
Okay, so what I'd say it's closer to than like make the same recipe that the shitty chef made. It's like, God, Volkswagen Beetle, good car, handles well, looks great, Nazi ties. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's saying get a different car, but don't get rid of the car entirely.
It's like, you know, like...
or a car, the concept of a car entirely.
Well, I think what it's saying is, like, let's just remember how it felt in the car.
Oh, let's you not, could have chosen better words.
I don't like I don't like the branch you've taken for my bad argument.
Okay, I'm going to punch up my own justification.
Great.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Let's remember how driving felt.
This is, I mean, I get you guys are like mostly joking, but it's treading on such the nice and real things.
Then here's what I'm gonna say. Fuck Harvey Weinstein.
Fuck Woody Allen.
Yeah.
I'm glad we finally said it, guys. Thank you to our sponsors, Applebee's and Yahoo.
And apologies to our sponsor that we're now losing, Woody Allen.
Yeah, he's been in the podcast game lately.
He is?
He's been making
rounds. I'm kidding. Jesus.
Oh, I thought you meant like he has his own podcast, which I could totally believe.
No. What the fuck? It'd be 2 hours of just rambling with long
you
gaps.
You think people still wouldn't listen to that? Also, that's what our podcast is.
Describe most podcasts.
Yeah.
So he said basically mostly the same thing over and over and over again.
Okay.
I would like to tell you what's happening here in case you were wondering. It is improvised, actually. They did not plan this in studio, I suppose.
Interesting, because otherwise this song seems so deliberate and meticulous.
It's a counter melody, so it's going against the melodies we've just heard, and it gets faster and faster, and I've actually never heard this term. Accelerando. Sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
Yeah.
So that's what I guess what it's called when it gets faster and faster.
Okay.
And it's actually, this is interesting. This chord sequence is the same as the verses. It's just transposed up one tone. So specifically, I think the verses are in C major and then the bridge is in D major.
Damn.
Is that not wild? And then the introduction, if you were keeping track, is in F major. There's three fucking keys in this song.
It works.
I think it's cool.
Does it?
I think it's great.
I think it's kind
of
cool.
You know what this song reminds me of is being at a party and dancing with your friends and seeing that, this is not going to sound good with the message, but seeing that girl that you have a crush on across the room and you start dancing to her and she's dancing with you and you're just like, it's fucking building. You're just having the goddamn time of your life. And it goes, and you're all just fucking jumping up and down to the, come on, Eileen. It's such a, just a euphoric feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had nostalgia attached to it, I might be able to relate to that more.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm just like, oh my God, this sounds like a drunk man doing karaoke badly.
Hell yeah. Which I also love.
Yeah.
I mean, that sometimes I like that.
Yeah, it sounds like someone like losing the tempo at karaoke. That's what it sounds like to me.
It is kind of, yeah.
I just, I moved recently and there is...
Yeah, I saw you dance. It looks great.
Yeah, I started moving recently and grooving. I moved apartments recently in New York City and there is a bar that is like two blocks away from my apartment that is not a karaoke bar, but has karaoke every night.
Oh my God. Like a bar with karaoke every night.
A bar with karaoke every night.
Wow.
That's my dream bar.
Right. And I never go in, but I always walk by it. I'm trying to build the confidence. I've only lived there for about 2 months. I'm trying to build the confidence to go in because it's like a lot of sort of like finance dudes who are trying to loosen the tie at the end of the day.
Downtown Griffey Nooms, you gotta go in there.
Downtown Griffey Nooms. I walk by it and I go, there's something I kind of like about these guys all drunk and singing off key, feeling liberated enough to just be that silly.
See, I see that scene and I feel threatened.
You know what else?
That is fair. Yeah. And I will say, but I will say, those are the exact type of guys who I always think are going to pin me up against a wall and call me a fucking loser. I still feel that every time I go to a bar, that these guys are going to target me and start throwing apples at the back of my head.
Uh-huh.
But maybe this is the reason I don't ever walk in the bar and I go, I enjoy this from the other side of thick glass.
Yeah.
You know, on the street.
You know what I'll say? I am someone who goes to a karaoke, or I go to a bar for karaoke almost every single week.
Really?
Just often on my own, but I've started bringing like friends or coworkers along with me.
You go to karaoke by yourself almost every
week? I truly love it. It's so fun. It's just it's a thing that I do for myself because I need more things to do for myself.
Uh-huh.
But it is a delight, and part of the joy of it is that no one gives a shit, and so no one's going like, they weren't very good. It's a bunch of drunk people going, I love this song, I'm gonna scream my heart out, and everyone just supporting them because they are also drunk, or they also are like, I also love this song. No one's like, the key doesn't matter, the tempo doesn't matter.
It's that infectious thing. And I feel like, you know, New York, LA, places with a lot of big famos, people
famos
trying to make it, right? A lot of times you'll go to a karaoke bar and it's like a ringer.
Oh, I don't like... No.
And you're like, she's a Broadway performer. Yeah. Of course she's killing it.
Yeah,
and that's not
that.
The fun. The fun is seeing someone shitty get up and sing a song we all love, and everyone else is like, we're all just going to yell these lyrics and mask it.
The worst thing that ever happens at this karaoke bar is someone comes in and picks like a Wicked song, and we're just like, no!
It's time to try defying gravity.
Legitimately, that one and Popular get picked every so often. I'm just kind of like, why?
Energetically, I'm 100% on board, but I'm one of those assholes that if something sounds bad, it physically makes me not in a good space.
Sure.
Now, when I can't separate from
when you
that.
Say sounds bad, do you mean...
If a note's off pitch, I'm highly sensitive to
it. So you mean
it.
That versus the text of the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the text of the song is more of like an intellectualized thing of oh, what are we saying, guys?
Yeah.
And as I have no attachment to the song, I have no problem just discarding the song.
Sure.
Being like, hey, this song's kind of creepy. No thanks.
So you're already out the door just when you go like, too many key changes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to a key change. I love a key change. I'm opposed to a key change that doesn't feel like it made any sense or there was any transition or it needed it.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to feel like, oh, this song is just the screenplay you write on coke.
Yes, that
it's
is how it
the
feels.
American president?
Every idea. It's weird the stuff that he writes on drugs isn't crazier. It's crazy in a certain way.
No. I'm going to put a pin in this conversation.
Great. Okay, and here's a totally different thing I'm going to say.
Here we go.
Edit point. It feels like the screenplay you write on coke because it's like whatever idea you're having at that moment, you're going to run with it.
Yeah.
And you're going to run with it enthusiastically until it runs out of steam.
Yeah.
And you go on to the next thing. Yeah. Musically.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like
about it. It's the Dexys.
There's something admirable about that quality. However, I don't want to listen to it. You know what I mean? That's like being like, oh, sweetie, the macaroni necklace you made looks so awesome. But you're actually never going to wear it to work.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for saying that.
Yeah, it was actually really awesome. Griffin walked in with macaroni necklaces.
And I appreciate that you appreciate them.
Yeah, I will not wear it, like I said. Not to work anyway.
You know what I'll say? I am not trying to or going to convince you that the song is good. But when we decided to do this, my first reaction was, yeah, everyone wants the song. I don't know why. Like, I'm sure it's a nutso song, but it's also, like, very shitty and overplayed. And then listening to it again, I was like, wait, no, I actually really like all of this. And I started being like, okay, I don't want to be down about this because I actually think I do love this song.
Yeah,
So I do think at face value, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Mm.
But I can't separate my
It's not like, listen, this song is not that problematic. Like
compared to anything else we've done, no.
No. Like it's just creepy.
It's creepy.
Creepy.
It's just creepy.
Yeah.
I do feel like all three of us are losing our minds now.
Yeah.
Tommy's now sitting on the floor.
I know.
Like this song is breaking us to a degree.
This is just what happens by this point.
Sure.
We get an hour and I'm on the floor.
Do you want to play the last chorus?
I think we got it, right? Yes. At this point,
we should
come
at least
so far.
Read the lyrics of what this is. It say, come on, Aline, these things, they are real and I know how you feel. Now I must say more than ever, things around here have changed. Anyway, it's just the
Shown,
same shit as
yeah,
before.
The yeah. Shown thing. Yeah, I don't even.
Same song, different for us.
It's just still gross. It's still
it's
gross
still
and creepy.
Gross.
Yeah. What
yeah,
a surprise.
I don't like the sort of active, like, trying to wear her down stuff.
It's so weird. And the come on, like, I mean, I never knew what the come on was about before, but I'm not on board with this.
Yeah. It's better.
What a thing to say as we kick right back into the chorus.
Right.
This is just the end of the song, really.
Everything.
Wait, I thought there was a big sting at the end.
A sting?
There is.
No, I think
they
you have
do
a different
another
version.
Sort of Irish shanty kind of thing at the
this
end.
This fades out.
Weird, I've never heard the fade-out version.
But I feel like it fades and then goes to the thing,
it
right?
It does. It fades out, and then we come back with a... There's a weird pause where you're like, oh, the song's over.
Oh, believe
this is what I was talking about.
This is that same song.
Yeah.
That I gaze on so fondly today.
This sounds like the song that she's singing at the beginning of A Star Is Born in that alleyway.
Fly in the night, just like fairy gifts gone in the sky.
Weird addition to this song.
Ugh. That made me like it less.
So I'll say, I feel like very early on in this episode, we came to realize you're not going to be able to make us not like this song.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to make you like this
mm-hmm.
song. I will say this last chunk we listened to, I started feeling like I was being driven crazy by this song.
Thank you!
And I don't know if it's just the relentlessness of the song. I can take in one straight 4-minute shot and we're breaking up into pieces.
It's way too
long. That last beat. Not the shanty, because then that got me
back. The last chorus.
The last chorus, I started going like, okay, I get it, guys.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
It is like, I think the chorus happens like 3 times in that last part. Where
woof,
it's like,
dude.
Why are we fucking doing this so
the
many
song,
times?
You said 4 minutes and 40 seconds?
4 minutes and 47.
Minutes and 40.
That's absurd.
Wow. That's why it's radio edited down to be like, we don't need the beginning, we don't need the end, we need less of these choruses.
I want like 3 minutes at most, and even then, you know how many minutes I actually want? Fucking zero.
Give me that 3.30, baby.
What if I hate this song? Now I'm really starting to...
No, you don't. No, you don't, man.
I mean, I would be shocked if... I actually don't know anyone that genuinely likes this song, so the fact that we got two in the same room is shocking to me.
I don't think I know anyone that dislikes this song.
Hey, Marissa, Do you like this song? Marissa. All right, three in the same room. Maybe I'm the weird one.
I was in the lift coming over here, and I thought to myself, is this one of my 10 favorite songs of all time? I had that thought.
You heard nine songs.
Yeah, I went, huh. You know, I don't, it's not a thing I try to usually rank. Like, I try to put together movie lists, like, in a real ranked way. And I wouldn't know what my top 10 songs were. There's a chance it's in there.
Oh, I hope I didn't ruin that for you.
I want to put out a poll.
I don't know where I said. I mean, at this point, I don't even know my own name. At this point.
It's Arthur. He's sweating so much.
It's Arthur. I am dripping in sweat.
Yeah. I want to put out a poll on Twitter for how people felt about this song before this podcast and how they felt about it after this podcast.
I'm interested. Yeah. I really am. Because to me, I'm like, wait, I thought we all know this song sucks. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just a Debbie Downer. Shit.
You felt like this is one of those obvious, like, embarrassing
cultural
blights.
Like, we were just
going
to dunk on this for an hour. I really thought coming into that, that's what we were about to
do. This is one of those sort of, like, mass hysteria. How did all of us get tricked into this one-hit wonder?
Yes.
In retrospect, it's like we all bought Pet Rocks, you know? You thought that was the tone.
Yep.
I don't even know at this point.
I do think, though, because it's so unlike anything else and because it feels like every instrument is just so definite is why we all were just kind of like, it's a jam. But when you think about it, it's like, that's not a good reason to make a song a jam, but it just feels so upbeat that it was probably infectious in
right.
the cocaine like, heydays.
Maybe this is a song cocaine held 80s. Together by, like, you know, like scotch tape and bubble gum.
Yeah.
Like, what's impressive is that they build this big tower. And then when you actually look at it, you're like, this is not a stable structure.
Griffin, no. I gotta compliment you on these metaphors, man. That's like the 100th one you've done. Thank They've you. All been good.
Yeah. King of the metaphor, baby.
They're all as good as a... God damn
it. So for the punch.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. What could you possibly have done to make this perfect song better?
Well, it's actually fitting now that this episode has gone so far off the fucking rails because so did the punch up. So I originally was like, okay, my issue with the song is literally everything. I hate everything about the song.
Okay.
I don't want to
keep. Your punch up would be erase the
would
masters.
I would play 3 minutes of silence for
you. Okay.
Beautiful.
But I was like, okay, well, how can I actually try to make something out of this? And I thought, oh, I know. I will hit up my brother again, who I've hit up for a couple episodes.
Henry.
My brother Henry, who's a singer-songwriter in Portland, Oregon, and is fucking amazing. And cool. I was like, hey, dude, can you just, like, bang me out just some little guitar thing and then just send that my way and I'll just, like, figure something out. And he was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Henry's, this is a reference for no one. Henry's like our breakmaster cylinder. All right, let's move on.
I got that reference and
Thank
I liked
you.
It.
I didn't, but I also liked it.
Mysterious breakmaster.
Fun words. So I thought he was just going to send me some guitar. And then he was like, hey, yeah, I'm singing this, right? And I was like, yeah, sure. Sing something. I just figured just whatever little couplet you want to use. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. I feel like that's not really going to read on air. Like, you're going to have to be kind of funny, aren't you? And I was like, oh, I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I thought like just making an original song would be enough. And he was like, what about, like, this angle? And I was like, yeah, it's really funny. I don't have time to work on it until tomorrow, so if you want to just, like, send it to me. And then he was like, yeah, I really only have right now. Here's a rough draft. What do you think? And I was like, whoa, dude. He wrote everything.
Oh, my God.
He wrote the words.
He wrote
the music. He did.
Damn.
And he just sent it to me to add harmonies
Henry
to.
Henry's a genius.
What I like here is it sounds kind of Dexy's style, where it's like, just get it out of your system.
He's like, I got just tonight.
He emailed it to me at like 8 a.m. I think he stayed up all night doing it.
Dexy.
He had a Dexy's midnight run.
Yeah.
So, It's very unrecognizable, except
Beautiful.
For the key change we did reserve. Wait, is that the word I wanted? Yeah.
Conserve.
Any sort of, the one you served.
Yeah.
Reserved, conserve, preserve, reduce, reuse, recycle.
The thing that struck him, and a little bit me, but honestly, I gotta give him the credit. He really did this. This is like a contracted punch up. Was that the first verse is like, hey, this guy used to make my mom cry. All right, anyway, let's fuck this girl. It's so strange. So we ran with that. And
okay.
That's
Beautiful.
What this is.
I want to hear what this is.
Sat upon the radio, moved a million hearts in mono. Our mothers cried. Oh, I don't know, but I bit because sad Johnny sang some sad ass stuff. I'm all grown up, but I'm all messed up inside the head, cause my sad, sad mom never left her bed. My dad's a drunk, cause he also hurt some Johnny too. So if you're out there, Johnny, fuck you. Come on, Johnny, sing something, please. A little less depressing, buddy. You sang your songs and ruined our mom. Sing something a little less depressing, buddy. Come on, Johnny, shut the fuck up.
Brother made an ironic hit.
That rules.
That's a beautiful song.
I would listen to that all the time.
You could only hear it's Come On Eileen if you had the reference of Come On Eileen. This should just be released as its own song.
That's a great song.
It's a beautiful fucking
song. That's a great
thing.
Song. That's a full stop great song.
Yeah.
He punched it up for real.
I mean, truly.
Not a joke. Yeah.
Truly.
You wouldn't God even damn. Know it's a joke unless you really listen to the words.
It's funny, but it also has some real emotional weight to it. I mean,
come
it feels
on,
like
Henry.
Come on, Henry. It feels like he's tapping into the emotional subtext, this thing, the people, the struggling,
oh my God.
The trying to be better, the drunk man sitting on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like this thing, and I like that it's so much about this guy.
Bumming everybody out.
Well, no, but also this son is trying to protect his mother.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Like, that's a nicer thing, that he's, like, defending his mother's, like, happiness.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucked up way to start a song, to be honest.
God, what a great song.
Fantastic song.
The key change still doesn't work. There's no way to make that
I didn't
even
hear the key change, to be honest.
Oh, you don't feel jarred when it goes, come on, Eileen?
I don't know music very well, so I just kind of went, pretty good sound.
Yeah, I felt relaxed that whole song.
Yeah.
That was a nice little bath of a song.
Also, the ultimate irony of, like, complaining that someone's songs bum everyone out, and then we made a song that sounded like a bummer.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful
bummer. It's a good
bummer.
It's, like, a really good cathartic feel.
It's a top-down driving bummer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Well, it's available for download on our Patreon.
Sure is. Shout out to Henry Bredo, half of the band Perlo.
Also, solo artist by the name of Henry Bardo.
Ah.
Why? Because Bredo's hard as fuck to spell.
Sure is.
Just a conversation you don't want to have a million times, you know?
No. I mean, incredible.
Which is why I don't.
Incredible song.
It
hey,
really,
thanks.
Fantastic.
I mean, yeah. I can listen to that.
I
so
can
in
listen
my
to
mind,
that.
Job accomplished.
Hey, you know what? I can listen to this one and the old one. I just got two songs now.
Yeah.
Also, are we going to breathe right past the fact that I just said job accomplished?
I am in no place to criticize anyone on speaking wrong.
Yeah.
I have never said a word correctly in my life.
Me don't talk so good.
Me no like... baba jawa jaka wokey.
I got like 15 words.
Jabba the Hutt.
I don't think so.
Who's one of the most beautiful linguists of our time?
Don't you do the George Lucas talk show?
I do. That's another thing to plug, I guess.
At the end of the show.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like I got 15 words left in me before I'm all out.
Well, let's go to fucking...
Yeah, you got your punch up?
Bam! I can't punch this. Oh.
Griffin, it is your duty as guest to go first on recommending a great song for everyone to listen to.
If you would like.
Oh, a great song to recommend that everyone should listen to.
Yes.
You know, it's one of my favorite pop songs of all time, and I don't think it's very well known. It is a song called Nothing But a Heartache. And the name of the song, the name of the band, fuck, I'm forgetting this now.
It's okay, we'll look it up.
The Flirtations.
Yes, The Flirtations, which is such a good name for a girl group.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
It's another song that's kind of like this.
1969,
where it's
wow.
It's a great sort of like pre, like Phil Spector talking about a great artist who never did anything wrong in their personal life. sort of girl group song. And it's all the things we're talking about. It's got, I like every part of it. I feel like it ramps up. It's a little more overtly sad, but it's definitely, it is a song from the perspective of the wronged rather than a song of someone trying to wear someone down, which I like.
Ooh, I like how you flipped that.
Right? I like that.
I'm excited to listen to that.
It's a really great song.
And you said Phil Spector involved.
Yes. Yes.
Demi,
beautiful.
What's your Unpunchable Jam?
I mean, I talked about it before, but my song is Drive It Like You Stole It from Sing Street.
Wait, you weren't kidding?
No. It's a fantastic song.
I just thought it was a joke. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, no, no. I've literally been listening to it all day because I was just kind of like, what does this remind me of? Looking at the album cover, and I remembered that it just reminds me of Sing Street just because of the way the guy is dressed.
Yeah.
Wait, but isn't this song referenced in the movie?
It might be. I truly don't remember, and it's not on the soundtrack, so I was like, oh, I guess it's not. But it sounds nothing like this song. It only is another song set in the 80s in Ireland, sung by an Irish boy. And it's, like, phenomenal.
The song rules.
The song rules. I'm still really upset it didn't get nominated for...
I was gonna say, that was one of the most egregious snubs in recent memory that none of those songs got nominated.
They gave La La Land 2 nominations? Just give them the one. Anyway, it was a great song, a fantastic movie. I really think it's just a wonderful film, so I would plug that entire film, but really it's for Drive It Like You Stole It, which is such a fucking catchy Duran Duran-style pop song.
My Unpunchable Jam, of course, is my brother, Henry Bardo.
Yep.
I need a fucking musical calm down from what we just did to ourselves for 17 hours. And so I want an instrumental piece, so I'm picking my brother's song, Milk. It is truly beautiful. It feels like a song from an old movie you've seen but, like, forgot about. I can't believe he's not been tapped to score a movie yet. It's incredible. There's a great music video as well on YouTube. I truly adore this song. I listen to it all the time. I cannot recommend it enough.
I tried to get his music in that show I worked on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that one show.
The one that is not out.
Right. Can't talk about it.
I just don't want to.
It's a TV adaptation of Ratatouille. Can you imagine? I want it.
It's called Ratatouille.
Griffin, where can people find you and listen to more of your amazing metaphors?
Yeah, right. My currency in this world. My name is Griffin Newman. I'm Griff Lightning on all social media stuff. The podcast is called Blank Check with Griffin and Davey. You can find it wherever podcasts are found. It's about movies.
Yeah.
Demi's been a guest.
Great show.
I'd love to have you on sometime. Let's have Demi on again.
Sure.
We'll talk about Zero Dark 31.
Yes, when
I
the sequel
about
comes
Zero Dark
out.
31. It's fine.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's about directors who have massive success and then get quote-unquote blank checks to make whatever they want. And so it's sort of like crazy passion projects when people get that sort of freedom.
That sounds awesome.
Which we're seeing right now with like Glass is like a textbook example of a person run amok with a crazy film. Have you seen it?
I saw the one before.
Split?
Yeah. That I almost wanted to walk out of.
I don't like that movie either.
That movie was fucked up towards women.
I thought it was a fine movie.
Glass won me back. I will say this. I had the exact same take on Split. Glass won me back. I think I will be in the minority on that.
Yeah, it seems like people don't like Glass.
I'm just concerned also with the idea of having like a villain that suffers from an actual disorder.
Another thing I don't like about that movie.
That's like, ooh, DID, baby.
These are my two big issues. And if you want to hear me speak more on this subject.
Check out Blank Check.
Yeah, listen to our Glass and Split episodes.
You can follow me at Miel, Demi at Electrolemon, us at Punch Up the Jam. We have a Patreon where we do a whole bonus podcast tentatively called Unpunchables, etc. Although it's really not relevant. We just chose a name
and kind of went on.
Yeah.
We do episodes every Thursday. I don't know. I have nothing else to say.
You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook. You can have a nice dinner and treat yourself to a nice relaxing bath if you want.
Lovely.
Why plug ourselves? Plug yourself.
Oh, that, no.
Plug yourself.
We're getting back into Come On Eileen territory.
No.
45 things we need to edit out of this episode.
Go plug yourself. That's where we'll end it.
Bye.
Thank you and good night, everybody.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey.
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.